So we know our sin and the depth of our sin, yet not without also knowing new life is ours, new light, new hope, new strength, new powers through Christ. So in thinking, already starting to think about this week's focus on the fall into sin, I happen to be listening to this kind of rootsy band I like, and realized that their lyric went perfectly with this. Their lyric is, apple hanging like a wrecking ball. There's an apple hanging like a wrecking ball. I thought that's the perfect image for what happens in Eden. Now, the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it probably wasn't an apple, but let's not debate that today. Let's just say it was an apple. And the fruit looked good. Yet once Eve and Adam took it and they ate it, they started that wrecking ball swinging. It was sin knocking down God's good creation. It was a pendulum swinging there. That apple, like a wrecking ball, came wrecking and swinging and smashing, and it's still wrecking our souls. Apple, like a wrecking ball. It looked good to eat. It looked like it was a good thing to do, and the serpent made it sound good, but it was a wrecking ball. The picture on the cover of the bulletin. That seems like the ultimate wrecking ball. The angel sent to cast Adam and Eve out of the garden. God had made this beautiful world and made this beautiful garden for them to live in, with lots of ways in which they would be fed by all the trees in the garden. And then they are cast out of the garden, the wrecking ball just sending them out, never to let them back in. The angel they're guarding with this flaming sword. And that picture really struck me. Struck, pun intended. It's terrifying, this wrecking ball of an angel there kicking us out of this hope of paradise. It's terrifying, and it seems so final. But that's also when God's gospel hope also struck me. Adam and Eve are sent out of the garden, yet not without hope. The serpent, Satan, is condemned by God. God says, there will come one who will crush you. And through sin, people are also condemned to death. It's a consequence for sin, yet God doesn't let Adam and Eve go just based on that. He doesn't just stop at condemnation like he stops at condemnation with Satan. He sends Adam and Eve, yet not without hope. The hope of being saved. Saved by Eve's offspring. Some child will come from Eve, or from the line of Eve, who will come and rescue God's people, who will come and crush Satan. So they're facing the consequences of their sins, yet not without hope. There's a different quality there for Adam and Eve than there was for the serpent. And there's a different quality for us. We know the consequence of our sin. We know that it's like a wrecking ball, and we know that it smashes into us, and we tend to let sin be like a wrecking ball and smash into others. And as much as we all stand condemned because of sin, yet not without God's plan of salvation, which is incredible. So that's when that phrase came to me this week, yet not without hope. Our faith in God, yet not without. Our faith in God holds on to something more than maybe what we see right now. I mean, sure, it's only the second story in our series, and really it's kind of the second major story in the Bible, and already we're facing this terrifying, sword-wielding angel. And sure, we are made aware of our sin and its consequences, but our faith in God, it's a yet not without kind of faith. No matter the consequences, the valleys, the sorrows, the pains, the sins we face, our faith is a yet not without kind of faith. And because of that, and to help you remember that, I thought we'd look at all of the yet not withouts in our story today. I don't know why Bible passage isn't marked that way, but I see a whole bunch of yet not withouts. It's because I made up that phrase. But I want you to see them in there and just see how God's grace and goodness works in even as he is handing out all these consequences. I want you to see this because when someone tells you that your faith seems mean or cruel or unfair because of God's judgment, because of talking about sin, I mean, especially if you're talking to someone and they find out that the second story in this nice summer series about all these nice Bible stories, the second story comes along with the sword-wielding angel saying, "Get out." Or maybe you yourself struggle with that. What does it mean to have a God whose second story in his storybook about all about the true things that he has done, the second thing he tells us about is our sin and its consequences? When you are challenged in that way, I want you to think of all these yet not withouts. And remember that our faith is a yet not without kind of faith. So it begins there with the condemnation of the serpent, right? He asks Adam, "What have you done?" "Well, I ate the tree. I ate from the fruit of the tree, but it's, I mean, the woman gave it to me," right? Casting the blame on her. And Eve says, "Well, I ate from the tree, but the serpent, he tricked me into doing it." And so the first words God has are for Satan. "You are condemned. You will be crushed." Yet not without the promise of Christ. God could have just said, "You will be condemned." And we wouldn't even really know if that has anything to do with us. It's just, well, that makes sense. God's going to condemn this serpent, right? But he doesn't do that. It's yet not without announcing that there would be this child who would come and crush Satan. There is hope here. And that promise will come through the offspring of Adam and Eve, which then leads us right into the next consequence God announces, that Eve will have children, but there will be pain in childbirth. And I won't even pretend that I understand the pain of giving birth. But notice something here. He announces that there will be pain in childbirth. This is a consequence of their actions, yet not without life, yet not without children, yet not without the line continuing, yet not without there's going to be offspring for the promise to crush serpent. God didn't have to do that. He had said, "Be fruitful and multiply," when he originally made everyone. But he could have taken that back. And yet when he says there will be pain in childbirth, he's saying "be fruitful and multiply" is still in effect, yet not without life. And in the midst of all this, death is that wrecking ball that swings because of sin, yet not without hope. And here's a really incredible thing. Adam is showing hope in this promise of life. In the midst of death, knowing that death is certain, Adam shows this hope that God is going to bring about life. He's trusting in God's promise, and where you see it is in the name he gives to his wife. He names her Eve, which is a play on the Hebrew word for life. I mean, think about it. They just, they're found out they're naked. They're filled with shame about what they've done. They've just seen that God's going to condemn the serpent. God's handing out all these consequences. They know they're going to die. And Adam turns and names his wife Life, yet not without hope. God's working faith in Adam and Eve. Be fruitful and multiply is still in effect. But that will mean that they're going to have a family to feed. They had been given to do work in the garden. And we talked last week how that care for God's creation, that was meant to be our joy, to enjoy God's world. And when he says, go take care of the earth, it was to like join him, partner with him in caring for creation. That was God's original plan, but now it would be toil. It would be thorns and thistles. And those thorns and thistles are their own kind of wrecking ball against Adam the farmer. He would work by the sweat of his brow to get food. But he's going to have this family, so he's going to have to toil because he's going to have offspring and they're going to need food to eat. So even though it's thorns and thistles, yet not without the land yielding food to eat. God doesn't say the land will no longer produce any fruit, no longer will you get any bread from the land. God doesn't say that. God says you will toil, yet not without the land yielding fruit. Be fruitful and multiply is still in effect. They now know their nakedness, and it's related to the shame that they feel for their sin, and they quickly put some fig leaves together or whatever, but they're nothing durable. Kind of rags trying to cover their shame. And that's what they would have left the garden with, yet not with God. God's going to send them out of the garden, but he's yet not without better garments. God makes them garments of skin, something much more durable. God knew he was going to send them out, and he knew that they were going to face the rigors of the climate. The world had changed. And those flimsy fig leaf things that they had tried to make, that was never gonna work. It would be like wearing a cheap t-shirt instead of a parka. So God takes care of them. Before he sends them out of the garden, he gives them the gift of garments that will take care of them. And then though they are expelled, they are exiled from the garden, and there's this terrifying image of the angel with the flaming sword keeping them from the original paradise, yet all of that, yet not without hope and not without grace. It seems terrible to be cast out of the garden, and yet look and see why he did it. He says, it's so that they won't be able to come and eat of the tree of life. They had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now they saw good and evil and they disobeyed God and they were sinners. Yet they had not eaten of the tree of life, granting eternal life. So God protects us from that tree so that we are not locked in eternally as sinners. Yet not without hope, yet not without grace. And so our life of faith is this, yet not without. You feel challenged by your sin, yet not without the hope of forgiveness. You feel challenged by the world around us, yet not without God's grace in effect. You feel challenged when people say you must have a cruel God, yet not without seeing the mercy and the love of our God. Psalm 130 that we read today, that Bob Souza read today, I mean, it's filled with yet not withouts. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, yet not without God hearing our cries. We know we have a full record of sin, yet not without God's forgiveness. We wait and wait and wait for rescue and safety, yet not without hope, God's steadfast love, God's redemption, This is the prayer, the song of a yet not without kind of faith. And it goes back to the garden with its consequences, yet not without consolation. That's what I want you to go away from today. I want you to have a yet not without kind of faith. That when you are faced with a darkness, you will say, yet not without the promise of life and light in Jesus. Now, one thing. I'm going to give, for word nerds, I'm going to finish with this. I came up with a whole bunch of words that describes this yet not without thing. I was trying to figure out, like, it's a consequence of sin that we are kicked out of the garden, right? That's a consequence. And I was trying to figure out, how do you describe this yet not without thing? And so I was coming up with all these words, and at first I started with consequence is like out of sequence, right? Not in sequence, right? So then our hope would be resequence. That through Christ, he is resequencing things. He is bringing things back together. And that just started me on a whole bunch of rewords. We were created. He is recreating. We are redeemed. We are renewed. We're knocked down by a wrecking ball by sin, but he will rebuild. We have sinned against each other, yet not without God providing his son to lead us, to be restored, to be reconciled. The angel is sent to guard paradise, but from what we see in Scripture, this will only last until Jesus returns, until we are resurrected. And then the angel will be removed. And we will be restored to the recreation, to our true hope. If you're a word nerd, maybe those REs help you. If not so much, then maybe the little phrase, yet not without, helps you. But my prayer is that you would face the story of the fall and to see in it God's goodness and his graciousness, even in the midst of the ungoodness of the fall, that through Christ we truly are resequenced and recreated, redeemed and renewed. Amen.